What a great reminder for us. Memorial weekend's a great weekend. A lot of families I've checked online are vacationing, having a good time, but it's the sacrifice that gives us freedom. And at the end of the service, the ultimate sacrifice is that Jesus Christ died for you and me that we might find life, and we're going to receive communion at the end of service. So I'm excited about that. Just quick update, Sharon's, some of you don't know, Sharon had surgery on Thursday. And is doing real well. She'll be out of commission, out of work for 6 weeks, but she's doing well. And then we had the privilege of having our California kids come into town and to see Louise, and they're going to have a baby coming up. So that's kind of fun having them here. And I've been kind of pondering the whole book of Ephesians. And when you think about chapters 1 and 2, talking about how good God is and how all of us have been predestined to know Him, to be blessed by Him, to realize that we're saved not by the things that we do, but by His goodness. And then all of a sudden, we get connected to chapter 3. And in order really for you to understand the first couple of verses in chapter 3, I want you to listen to the sound of shackles. I want you to kind of in your mind hear the clank of chains, because it's a reminder of where Paul is, right? This is one of the prison epistles. Paul wrote this in prison, but it's like, it's okay, he's in prison, but why is he in prison? And really, it's a challenge for all of us today, because we're all trading our life for something. Like every day, you can't get back yesterday, you trade your life for something. And Paul decided, I'm going to serve Christ no matter the cost. And now I'm in prison. But what's crazy is I read this, I'm like, Paul, wait a minute. You're in prison, you're in shackles, there's chains that are rattling, and you don't act like it. You act like you have a conversation with God Almighty and He listens to you, and you're praying for your readers. All right, confession, I've never been committed to prison. When I was a child, they said he'll either grow up to be a pastor or he'll be in prison. Well, thankfully, it's this side of the law that I'm on. So I don't get it, but even when I'm inconvenienced, have you been there? Like you've got a little inconvenience? I mean, last night we ordered pizza. And I went and they brought down our two pizzas. And I'm like, uh-oh. One of those isn't as big as it's supposed to be. And so the person says, is everything okay? And I'm like, I don't think so. Is this the largest pizza that you have? Well, no, it's the one just... I'm like, oh, no. When I called, I ordered the largest pizza you have. And then, I mean, she said, well, okay. She says, I'm going to put you in the complaint book. Like, no, I don't want to be in the complaint book. That's what I'm thinking. She goes, and the next time you call, you'll have her free pizza. I'm like, oh, hi, thank you for ruining my life, because I've got to go home, and now, you know, I don't get it. Have you ever been there where it's just a little bit of an inconvenience, and I'm like, no. This is why we need today. This is why we need to be reminded. It's Memorial Weekend, and there are people who literally ran into the battle and died, and we have the honor of being here, right? This is Communion Sunday when we realize the God who cares about you so much that He allowed His Son to die in your place. It's a big deal. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. When I think of all of this, and he's talking about chapters 1 and 2 that we just kind of highlighted, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles. Assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending His grace to you Gentiles. In other words, my name is Paul, and I'm in prison. and I'm not in here in vain. I was given the honor, I was given the responsibility to reach out to you, and because I reached out to you, here's the consequence of that. Even though it cost him his freedom, no big deal. And what I've been kind of wrestling with in the book of Ephesians is this, personally. What does it cost me to follow Jesus Christ? And maybe you could ask that question. What does it cost you to really follow Jesus Christ? I love when new people come to church. You know, I love it. Someone called this week and like, okay, do you have this? I'm like, time out. This maybe isn't the church for you. Because I'm not here to cater to everything you want. I'm here to help you grow in Jesus Christ and be responsible. And so I thought, and now if you're that person who's come, I love you, but here's the reality. Don't come to Hope Church and just go, what can I get? No. You go to Burger King if you want what you can get, and that doesn't even work. Remember the little slogan you have it your way? They don't do that. You tell them you want a half chicken hamburger sandwich and you find out how much that was just a slogan and not the truth. But don't be coming to Hope and going, well, it's just about me. Paul is saying this. I'm gonna pay the price. And you know what I love about Hope? There's a lot of people who say, what can I do? What can I do? Even this week, you know, the church is kind of filling up again and it's super exciting. And all of a sudden we're like overrunning the kids ministry. And there are people who have said, you know, I'm gonna take that. I'm going to help there. That's how we grow. Paul says this in this next verse, and I love it. He says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. I'm so connected to Christ that it oozes out of me in how I live. By the way, I wasn't rude to the people last night at the pizza place because that doesn't work. I'm terrified that someday they'll show up here on a Sunday and go, that's you? No, I'm not saying I have never been rude because I'm human and this is why I need this. Paul says, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I love this. Paul is basically saying, God owes me nothing. God owes me nothing. Yes, I'm in prison. So what? I should not even have a relationship with God. And because of God's goodness, because of God's grace, I not only get to have a relationship with him, he actually will take a guy like me and use me for his good. I don't care if I'm in prison. I've been able to share the good news that has been part of my life. The endless treasures available to them in Christ. And when we first started this study in Ephesians, I said, you know, there's so much shallowness. So much shallowness. Let's take a little deeper look. Let's take a deeper step in our faith. And listen to what Paul says here. Listen to what he's saying. God, you owe me nothing. I don't care that I'm in prison. I don't care what happens to me. I have a task, and I am fulfilling that task. That's what we call depth. Depth. And how exciting that is. It's exciting. Listen to what Paul says a couple of verses down. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Boldly and confidently into the presence of God. How do you do that? You know him. It's not know about him. You know him and you serve him. Paul says this to his readers. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you. You should feel honored. I'm like, wow. He doesn't want them to become dispirited. He doesn't want them to become disappointed. He doesn't want the Gentiles to be doubting and feel dejected. Wow, they persecuted Paul. What's going to happen to me? There's a cost. There's a cost to Christianity. And if you are not solid in your foundation, I promise you in the days to come, your faith is going to be rocked. I mean, even College of the Ozarks. This is a beautiful Christian college. It's a private Christian college. It's been there for years. Forget about being political. How about being biblical? They've been embroiled in a lawsuit with the government because the government is saying that something which is wrong is now right. Hey, I don't care if you're a Christian college. You are going to allow people who say that I'm a different gender, even though biologically they're not a different gender, to be in the shower. Really? You know, when I was a little kid, we were poor, and I didn't get to have some of the things the other kids had. And then my friend, maybe I've told this before, my friend came up with an idea. He said, no, how are you getting all these nice new bike parts? He goes, oh, it's simple. Let me show you. So we went into the store, and he said, see this like can of corn? You take the price off of it, and you put it onto the expensive bike part, and then you go check out. I thought, this is awesome. So I had my bike totally tricked out at the price of like two cans of corn and a can of beans. And I thought, this is great. Well, that was my life of crime. It began there. Thankfully, it ended before I went to prison. But this is what society is doing. You take what God says is wrong and you flip the price tag and call it right. It's never right. Again, I'm not being political, but we've got to be biblical because here's what's going to happen. If you don't have a faith in Christ, you're going to be washed away. I never understood what that verse said. Many are called, few are chosen. The way to hell is broad and many will find it and the way to heaven is narrow. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. It's so easy to say, Jesus, I accept you into my life. Then I realize, wait, it's not just that. Paul's talking about here, at some point, we might have to suffer for our faith. So there's a Christian college minding their own business, trying to help people grow in a relationship with Christ. They don't even charge tuition. Kids come out of there mostly debt-free. It's a great college. And now it's being imposed upon them that men who call themselves women will have to be in the women's dorms and sleep there and can shower with the women. It's not right. And I'm not going to change that necessarily, but you're not going to tell me that that's right, or I have to quit being your pastor. Either we're going to believe all of this, or you believe none of it. And this is why I'm telling you this. Paul is saying, hey, I don't care. I don't care if I'm in prison. So this is why when you come to Hope Church and you say, do you have this? 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 No. But what do you have? An opportunity for you to absolutely grow and get connected to Jesus Christ in a real way. That when push comes to shove, you have a faith that matters. You have a faith that can stand up against what happens when we change the price tags. Not doing that. And I love everybody. It has nothing to do with loving people. It has to do with what's right. What is absolutely right. Paul, I love this. Don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. There's always been a cost to follow Jesus. And you know, that's why I've said this many times before. That's why I've always enjoyed going to India. Because the family of Christ in India, many of them, friends that I have there, have paid a significant price to have their faith. But their faith seems to be like deep, super deep. And I struggle with, well, Jim, you know, how shallow are you? And I don't think it's a bad thing for you and me to ask ourselves, how shallow are we? What do we value most? Has somehow the price tag in life switched? That we don't value faith and we don't value the God-given family? And we just flip the price tags? Paul was saved from God. You say, how's that? The wrath of God because of his sin. Paul was saved by God because God allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to die in his place. Paul was saved for God. God said, Paul, I don't care if you were a murderer. I don't care if you stood there when Stephen was killed and you agreed. I don't care that you went and took mommies and tore them from their kids and put them in prison. I saved you from me, by me, and I saved you for me. That's why Paul says, I don't deserve any of this. God owes me absolutely zero. And I'm irritated over a pizza. I mean, you don't get a body like this by eating a smaller pizza. And you're irritated by that too. You've been stuck in traffic probably this week, and you're like, are you kidding me? Or the person in front of you at the store, you're like, it's super easy to use that self-checkout. If it didn't work for you, you could have gone to the other line. I mean, there's all kinds of things we do. What is this person ordering in front of me? Like 500 hamburgers or whatever? I mean, we all have that. And we all act like we're in prison and we're not. Paul's in prison and he acts like he's free. It's crazy. God had a plan for Paul and he's living it. And the truth be told this morning, many people are longing for something that's real. Many people are longing for meaning in life. True meaning. Meaning that is something that transcends the stuff that we encounter every single day. Here's what that is. Listen to Paul. I'm in prison, but I did it because I'm sharing my faith with people that the Jews hated. And I'm doing it anyway. Well, maybe you don't like what I said today about, well, it's fine to have a transgender male in a girl's locker room at a Christian college. Well, I'm going to tell you it's not fine. And you can like me or not like me, but I'm telling you, this is wrong. And there's no way ever that I'm going to say it's right. I don't care. And I'm not being mean. I love everyone. But there comes a point where, get out of my world. Quit changing the price tags and telling people that this is good when it's not good, when statistically it's not good. I was thankful that, you know, an adult told me, Jim, you can't change the price tags in the store. Why? I get free stuff. because there is no free stuff in life. You pay for something and then you get it. Well, that's not as much fun. Yeah, but we call that fun stealing, and it's wrong. Well, you didn't have to put it that way. Check out Paul. I mean, this guy, he understands. We talk here at Hope about seeking, serving, and sharing. You want to get committed to a church that's going to challenge you to seek the Lord? That's Hope. It's going to challenge you to serve the Lord? That's Hope. It's going to challenge you to share the Lord? That's Hope. That's kind of the, here it is. Paul, he talks about this. It's so crazy. Listen to what he says here, these next verses. When I think of all of this, in other words, when I think about God shouldn't have chosen me, but he did. He loves me. He gave me a plan, and I'm super excited. I'm in prison because I actually did something with my faith. He says, when I think about all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. What? The guy actually prays as if God is listening. Like God's not only listening, but he's going to answer him. And he prays for strength, not for him, but for the people who he is talking to, the church of Ephesus. He's praying that they have strength. No, Paul, you need strength. You're in prison. I don't care that I'm in prison. It's a badge of honor that somebody actually noticed I was doing something for Christ and stood up against it. He says, I pray that you would have strength. That's a powerful word. It means to be strong. It means to be tough. It means to be enduring. It means to be strengthened from the inside. And isn't that what we need? We need strength on the inside. It's the power of God that we need. That no matter what happens, there are several of you who shot me a text this week and said, we're praying for Sharon. I was like, are you serious? It's making me stronger. Someone came and sat with me in the waiting room for a couple hours. I'm like, nah, you don't have to sit here. And they brought me up. Oh my gosh. If you've never been to Mercy Hospital, go in the entrance and turn right. And then there's this little refreshment area. There's this little thing that's about like that big. It's kind of cheese and has cherries in the middle of it. I bit into that thing and I'm like, oh, I mean, it was so good. Well, then when my friend came, I said, hey, you got to try one of those. He brought one up to me, another one. It was a good day and he prayed with me. He prayed. Oh, I like that thing, but I'm telling you, your prayers, they really did matter. What didn't matter is how much money I have or don't have. What didn't matter is that I like my truck or I like my bike or we've got a dog. I mean, what mattered was that I found strength in the Lord, and I didn't know what was going to go on with Sharon. We didn't know if some of this stuff could be cancerous or what was going on. Her sister right now is struggling with cancer, and so a lot of things going through my head. But what wasn't going through my head is that I can't trust God, that I felt him there, and part of that's because of you and your prayers, and that's why we need each other. That's why when people are coming back to church and they're going, man, I forgot how good this was, because we need one another. There's days when I'm a little weak and you're a little stronger. There's days when you're a little weak and I'm a little stronger. And we need each other. Paul, man, he's got an inner strength that if you don't seek God in more than a casual way, you don't quite understand. And then when your world falls apart, guess what? You fall apart. I just love what Paul's saying. One author said it like this. It's in his soul, his heart, his spirit. It's the spirit that God has renewed. It's what the human heart craves. And once God's spirit truly dwells in a person, that person is supremely fulfilled and satisfied. Paul prays these prayers and he's in prison and he's not mad at God and saying, God, you owe me. And I can learn a little bit from that. I don't know if you can, but how many times do we think, well, I deserve this. God, you didn't do what I told you to do. Paul goes on and he says this. And this is about you and me today, because he's talking about the people who are reading this. He's talking about the people who are going to read this. He says this, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. May Christ dwell more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. This is basically saying, is Christ the CEO of your life? It's not just, oh, I've accepted Christ. It's he actually feels at home in my heart. See, there's a difference. And you have to understand there's a little bit of a prerequisite here. May he be more at home in your hearts as you trust him. And then may you encounter his marvelous love. There is a love that Christ has for you that is beyond our comprehension. And you fully understand this when he is more at home in your hearts. It's talking about a permanent residency. To enter, settle down, Christ is at home. And that's when real change happens in our lives. And as you look at this verse and you understand grammatically, it's actually attached to verse 18. So it's talking about, may you really understand the marvelous love of Christ, that crazy love for you as it is at home in your heart. And then it's actually grammatically connected to verse 18. May your roots go down deep in that love of God, and may you have the power to understand. You see, there's this love of Christ that he wants you to have, but it's in order for that to happen, he's got to have a place called home in your heart. You see, biblical faith isn't something that you wish for. Like, maybe this is true, maybe it's not true. I'm going to, like, chuck a prayer up to God just because I don't know if I can figure it out and it's like a backup net. No. If you were to have this type of a conversation with Paul, he would look at you like, do you even know God? Do you even know what he did for me? Do you have any idea that I don't deserve prison? I deserve to be dead? But instead of being dead, Christ came into my life and he gave me an opportunity to not be who I was, but to become who I am. And Paul would think we're crazy. It's where life is most richly lived. I'm getting old. I don't know if my hair gives that away. But here's what I can tell you that I've learned over many, many years of pastoring. It's almost 38 years as a full-time pastor. People who fall apart most often are those with the most shallow faith. People that I have met in my life who have been able to stand the test of time and the trials that come upon all of us. Doesn't mean that they don't doubt. I mean, sometimes we're brutally hit with life. But they are people who have gotten beneath the surface with God. and they understand his marvelous, marvelous love. He says, you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. In other words, this isn't something that just happens for some. As all God's people should understand, Paul's saying from prison, you've got to understand that God loves you. You're ridiculously loved, and he wants to be at home in your heart. May you understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you may never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Wow. Welcome to biblical Christianity. Welcome to what it looks like to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. That you're going to experience fullness in life and the power of God. What? It doesn't come with a shallow faith. And what am I encouraging you today? What am I encouraging, you know, the guy who picks up the pizza and like has a little bit of a meltdown because it wasn't the largest one? That there's more to life. That there's more to life than getting everything you want. That there's more to life than being entitled. There's more to life than thinking, wow, is this all there is? There's more to life than being just, it's called God in you. God in me, where he's actually at home in our hearts. Somebody wrote this about the verses we just read. I don't think the breadth and length and height and depth represent four specific types or categories of the love of God. It simply suggests the vastness and the completeness. In whatever spiritual direction we look, we can see the love of God. We can see God's love is it's breathed, it's reflected in our acceptance. We can see the length in God's choosing us before the foundation of the world. We can see love's height in God having blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We can see the love's depth in God reaching down to the lowest level of our depravity to redeem us, who were dead in our transgressions, our sins. This is such a powerful chapter. A guy in prison who acts like he's as free can be, who actually prays prayers like God's listening. That's so powerful. Then it kind of wraps up. There's this doxology, and Paul just... And here's what's really cool. In chapter 4, it completely flips a different direction. It's talking about how good God is. Chapter 1, 2, and 3, and then chapter 4, it does a flip, and I can't wait to go there with you coming up here soon. But here's what Paul says towards the end of chapter 3. Now glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. He is able to do infinitely more than you could ever ask or imagine. Have you been through a rough time? God can change that. Doesn't mean that things don't hurt. Doesn't mean that bad things haven't happened. But God can take what was bad and he can turn it for his good. Paul's in prison, and guess what God did with Paul in prison? He allowed him the privilege to pull back and take time, and he wrote this. His tragedy today is a treasure for you and me. I wouldn't understand the depth of this from somebody who's never had any hard times. Paul was in prison, and he says, hey, God's working with you. God can work in you. You have hope in him. He can accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask, ever imagine. May he be given glory in the church and Jesus Christ forever and ever throughout endless ages. Amen. And he says he can do, another version, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine. He can surpass our requests abundantly. It can overflow in us above or beyond what we need. But we've got to seek him. Our society is changing the price tags and trying to convince us that things that are not right as though they were right. Our society is trying to tell you that you're not important. Our society is trying to tell you that you're a failure if you haven't done this or you don't have this or you haven't accomplished that. And Paul is saying, you have been called by Christ Jesus. Let him dwell in your hearts. Let him impact your thinking. Feel his love, connect with him, and watch more prayers get answered. Watch your level of stress not be as elevated as it is. Trust me. It's not a self-help book. It's a God who cares and can change ourself, just like he did with Paul. I wrote this last thought, and we're going to have communion in just a moment. Paul did life in the power of God. And in the power of God, Paul believed that nothing was impossible. God, may that same power work within us through your Holy Spirit. It is about us being willing to allow God to richly dwell in us. It's a big deal. And I love Hope Church so much. I care about you, each one of you. I really do. You matter. You matter to me. You matter to the Lord. Even when things break, you matter. Was that from the sound booth? They're so excited, they're throwing things. Oh, my goodness, that was funny. Here's what I want to tell you. You have an opportunity, and I say this a lot, to take one more step closer to Christ, and you're not going to regret it. But it's hard to follow Christ. And you're never going to follow Christ without having it cost something. Okay? There's no free ride to follow Christ. There's no change in the price tags and saying this is right when it's actually wrong. He wants to use you. He really cares about you. I want to do two things. Jonathan, if you'll come and... They're going to lead us in one more song before we receive communion. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, that's where you start. And kind of take me out of the equation for a minute. If you were to have a conversation with God right now, and you were to say, God, have I changed the price tags on anything? Am I valuing this more than it's actually valuable? God, am I neglecting you because I think that the things in this world are going to make me that much happier? Take me out of the equation. Just ask that question. And if God says, I think you could take one more step closer to me, I think you could go just a little deeper with me, then I want to pray for you and bless you. But if you've never accepted Christ, you need to do that. Not for me, for you. Just like Paul did. What an honor. What an honor to read about a guy who was rotten and he became right because of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have this for us to read. It's your faithfulness and part of it's our willingness. If you've never accepted Jesus, and you say, I need to just allow him to be not only my Savior, but at home in my life. I need Christ to forgive me of my sins. Would you look up at me, and I want to pray for you that God would help you. And you already know I love you. There's no condemning from Jim today. I care about you. Maybe let's just ask this question. I think maybe I have bought into changing some price tags that aren't biblical. If I were to be really honest, there's probably a step I need to take, probably a deeper walk I need to commit to. And Pastor Jim, I'd love for you to pray for me that God would give me the strength to do that. I didn't even say look up at me and people are looking up at me. Yeah, I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. And let me ask you one last thing. When's the last time you invited somebody to find hope at Hope? When's the last time you shared your faith with somebody? I'd like to pray for you that God would bring somebody in your life who needs to hear their strength, not only at Hope Church, but in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to pray for you. Okay. Father, these friends are serious about this. God, we need your strength. We need you to dwell at home in our hearts. We need to grasp the marvelous love you have for us. We need to see more of the Spirit in us. We need to see more of our prayers answered. So, Father, take us deeper in you. Take us deeper in you, I pray. God, if we need to accept you today, may we say, Jesus, become my Savior. Don't just save me from my sins. Help me to live a life that has meaning, that has fulfillment. God, give me strength to share with my neighbor. My neighbor needs to know Christ. My coworker needs to know Christ, but I don't want it to be weird. God, help me, I pray. As we think about communion this morning, to the church of Corinth, Paul writes this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In other words, you matter so much, I'm going to tell you to remember me because I care. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the first time we are able to receive communion together. And someone may ask, and this has been asked before, do I have to be a member of Hope Church to receive communion? Nope. But you do have to be a member of God's church. Or you read a little further in those passages, he says, you drink damnation upon yourself. Nobody's excluded unless you chose to be. You're absolutely welcome to receive communion here. And how do we do it? We don't pass the plates. Well, I guess we could today, but normally there's kids in here. And when you pass the plate with kids, mom and dads are thinking about the kid dumping it on the head of their sibling and not really focused on communion. So we say, hey, we just, in the two in the front, two in the back, and you're like, man, I just can't get up. We'll bring communion to you. Here's the key about communion. Jesus never said how often to do it. He never said what day to do it. But he said, check your heart while you do it. And here's what I ask during communion. God, I take this bread and I need your strength in my body. Your body was broken for me, and sometimes I feel broken. Would you help me to be stronger in you? every time I take that cup, I say, I'm a sinner. I'm not proud of it, but I am a sinner. And thank you that you forgive me. And help me. I know I'm not going to be sinless here on this earth, but God, could you just help me sin a little bit less? I really do want to follow you, and it's a struggle every single day. And that's kind of how I receive communion. And in a moment, I'm going to have you stand, and they're going to sing one last song with us. Then the people who are leading and singing will dismiss us this morning. God bless you so much today. Thank you for being here. And my prayer for you, seriously, is this, that you'll take another step closer to Christ. Don't make an excuse. Hey, when all is said and done, our relationship with Christ is really what's going to matter. Absolutely, that's what's going to matter. And so as we receive communion today, there's two tables in the back, two in the front, whatever you feel comfortable with, and bring it back to your seat, or you can pray in the aisle, or however that works for you. And I'm going to pray for our communion, and then we'll receive that together. Jesus, thank you for your body broken for us. I don't get it. Sometimes I look at that cross and wonder, how could you even do this for us? But your body was broken that we might find strength and inner strength, and that we would even receive healing. And I pray that that would happen today. And then your blood was shed, and that's an awful thing, that the blood leaked out of your body and you died. And yet you did that for us too, and I don't understand it. I'm so thankful for it and sometimes embarrassed by it, because I'm not where I would like to be and where I hope to be. But today, as we receive this, would the new thing that you've done, would you cleanse us and let us start brand new again today? Would we sense, God, that love for us, that this is how much you love us? You came as our Savior. Next time you come, you're going to come as a judge, and we don't want to be in that spot. You came as the Savior, and don't let us miss that. Thank you that we can find strength and we can find forgiveness this very morning. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Let's stand together. And again, you can come to the tables in the front, or go to the tables in the back, and then we'll sing one last song together.